Last week I had intended to bring you a message that came to me while Judy and I were on our vacation a couple of weeks ago, and given the events last week, that didn't happen. And I almost changed the sermon to go back to 1 John, and then a couple of folks that I had kind of given a preview to of the sermon said, "Are you going to go ahead and do that this week?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I guess I am now." And so I'd like to do that. First of all, join me in Isaiah chapter 52. Just one verse from Isaiah. I have Isaiah 52, 7. You see it on the projection in front of you. I hope you have your Bible. But please give ear to the infallible, inerrant word of the living God. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." Now, if you would go with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 14. Again, the projection there in front of you or your Bible. Reading through verse 20. How then will they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?" So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, "I will make you jealous of those nations, of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry." Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, "I have been, did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me." May the Lord add his blessing to his holy word. Here the teaching in and of itself is rather simple. For someone to come to understand the things of God and to come to understand the works of salvation in Jesus Christ, they have to be told. They have to be shown. Now, there are some limitations to that. This does not mean that the person who is severely handicapped and has no abilities of comprehension, no abilities of hearing, etc., that there is no way that person can be saved. That's not what Paul is saying here. I think of dear little Jauncey. You could walk into that room and she'd hear my voice, and you know, she would stir. And you could start talking about Jesus, and she knew who you were talking about. So take this in relationship to what he's saying. But basically, the message is that for us to come to understand the salvation of Jesus Christ, for us to come to understand what is necessary, then there must be teaching. Paul refers to it here also, or more primarily, as preaching. But what I'd like to tell you today, is that preaching can take place in places other than that pulpit. I heard an amen. Thank you. Preaching can take place in the grocery store aisle. Preaching can take place across your dinner table. Judy and I had a lot of teaching situations and times across the table with Aaron and Marley. Preaching can take place across the fender of a car. Steve's probably witnessed to more people than I have in that regard. So let us not limit ourselves into where this message can be given. And who is the messenger? Well, it says preaching, so it's left to the preacher. No. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then you are a messenger. And so you have the message, being a messenger, you have the message, and so you are to be the messenger, and when you have opportunity to give the message, then that's what you're supposed to do. I'd like to share with you the experience of sharing the message that Judy and I had over our 2 weeks, week and a half, in our travels 3 weeks ago. We left out Sunday afternoon and headed down through Georgia, headed into Florida, drove across Mississippi, Alabama, went all the way down as far as the Mississippi went to the very end of the Mississippi. Last year we were in Minnesota and saw the headwaters of the Mississippi, so I wanted to see the end of it. And I got all the way to the end of it, but the fisherman that I met there said, "Sorry, you ain't there." He said, "You need a boat to do the other 23 miles. I said, "Well, okay, I'm far enough." Then we drove over into Louisiana, did New Orleans. Won't do that again. Then over into Texas. Drove through Beaumont, all the way down to Brownsville. I said, "I want to see the Mexican border." And we did. We drove within 100 yards of the Mexican border. Border patrols everywhere. As we turned around and headed out of there, went through a check station. One officer led us through. The second officer, I thought I had a pass. He banged on the top of my car, and I stopped real quick, and I rolled the window down. He stuck in there and said, "You're a U.S. citizen?" I said, "Yes, sir." And reached across to her, "You're a U.S. citizen?" "Yes, sir." On we went. But what I want to really relate to you is that Judy and I, over the last 2 years, in our travels doing this, we have intentionally stayed in these little roadside motels where you can drive right up to your door and walk straight in the room. And we do that intentionally because after we get checked in and get settled down, we will take whatever chairs are in the room and drag them out on the sidewalk. And we'll sit there for the evening. And you would be amazed at the activity in the parking lot, but the conversations that you get into. And that's why we do it. Because I want to get into the conversations. I want to meet the people who were there. And staying in the smaller roadside motels, it's a little different crowd. But I'd like to tell you of several of those meetings that I have, which I was doing this. Last year we were in Colorado, met a couple missionaries, sat there and talked with them a while, had prayer with them before they left. We met one gentleman who his wife had just recently died. He pulled his chair out, and we were actually sitting in the parking lot. He pulled his chair out and he told his story of his wife, and he was going to visit his children, and he was kind of saddened, of course, about his wife, but I think he was trying to debate whether to move to where his children were, and so we prayed with him. On this trip, met a gentleman in Covington, Louisiana, who was a painter. He was out painting the motel, and he was very upset because the individuals who were supposed to do the stucco work didn't do very well, and he was ranting. So I went out and spoke with him, and we talked a while, and I agreed with him that the stucco work, and we talked a while, and you know how us guys are. It's about two or three sentences in, and we go, "What do you do for a living?" Well, I knew what he was doing, and he asked me, "What do you do for a living?" I said, "Well, I'm a preacher." Most of the time, when I say I'm a preacher, there's this, woo, woo. but not with this gentleman. I said, let me tell you about Jesus. He said, I know all about Jesus. And so we sat there and had a beautiful conversation. And I love doing those things. Didn't know that gentleman from Adam. I won't tell you that part of the story. Went through Beaumont, went on down into Kingsville, headed on down into Brownsville, met a gentleman in Kingsville. I can't remember the conversation with him. But I really, really want to tell you about the individuals in Beaumont, Texas. In Beaumont, Texas, when we pulled in, about the time folks were getting off of work and coming in, this group of Mexican folks who had just gotten off work, they were over in the garden area and had the grill fired up. Off I went. And so I went over and joined them. Now I just sat down there beside them. We began talking. They were cooking spare ribs and chicken, and it was awesome. It was good, you know, good conversation. I went back to the room. Judy was sitting there, so I went back over there. And then I met a gentleman by the name of David. And we talked a while, and I said, let me tell you about Jesus. He said, know all about him. Been a believer all my life. A big Texan guy, you know. Know all about him. And we talked for a while. But I really want to tell you the story about the gentleman by the name of Aaron. Aaron finally made his way around to where we were. Don't do that. I'm going to step up here so I can't see her. Met a gentleman by the name of Aaron. He made his way around and we began talking. And in just a few moments, he said, I've been watching you. I've been watching you. And I knew that I need to stay away from that man. I said, why? Why? He said, I don't know. But I knew I needed to stay away from you. But here I am. And I said, well, if you don't mind, let me explain. I said, Satan didn't want you to come over here. Because I'm about to tell you about Jesus. And he kind of stepped back a little bit, but he didn't turn away. And I said, do you know Jesus? And he said, well, no. And I said, can I tell you about Jesus? And he said, no, not really, because what I've been through in my life, what I've done, it wouldn't do any good. And I said, why did you say that? And he said, well, I've been in prison, done some things that, Jesus just would not accept. And I said, really? And he said, yeah, I lived a life that's just not good. And he's a big, burly man, you know. And I said, can I explain some things to you? And he said, yeah. And I said, yeah, have you ever heard the story of the man on the cross, the thief on the cross? And he said, sort of. And I said, well, let me tell you the story, but I'd like to use the story as I heard it from a minister. I think he's in Cleveland, Ohio. And he begins by telling the story of saying that he was curious as to how this shakes out for this thief that makes it to heaven. This thief that makes it to heaven just a little bit earlier had been cussing Jesus and had been making fun of him, had been spitting all over him, but yet here you are. You've never been in a Bible study. You've never been to you've never been baptized. You don't know anything about church membership, but you made it. You know, the preacher was saying, the thief on the cross, you made it. Why did you make it? How did you get here? And the guy says, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, because I don't know. And so I'm getting Aaron's attention now. He's kind of getting drawn in. And so as the preacher continues to tell the story, the angel is continuing to be just flabbergasted that you're here. How did you get here? I don't know. And so the angel says, let me go get my supervisor. Let me go get the supervisor angel and come over here and help, because I don't know what to do. You don't know why you're here. I don't know why you're here. And so the supervisor angel shows up and says, I have a few questions for you. He says, sir, are you clear on the doctrine of salvation by faith alone? And the thief, of course, says, I have no idea what you're talking about. He says, okay, let me ask you this. What about your teaching on the doctrine of Scripture? Do you have a Bible? Yeah, right. And the supervising angel is getting flustered with all of these things that this gentleman doesn't have that we would expect a person to have to be in heaven. And so the supervising angel finally asked him, sir, on what basis are you here? What basis are you here? And the gentleman looked at him and said, because the man on the middle cross said I could be here. I turned and looked at Aaron. I said, Aaron, the man on the middle cross said you could be there. At that moment, it was almost as if a light went off. I could see his countenance change. I could see tears in his eyes. And I believe with all of my heart, at that moment, the Holy Spirit saved him. I said, Aaron, do you understand that the thief on the cross had nothing, had done horrible things? He was hanging on a cross beside Jesus after committing thievery and other sinfulness, thinking of himself totally unworthy. And you're here telling me basically the same thing, but let me tell you, let me assure you, that Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, the man on the cross in that middle cross, said, you can come. He said, are you sure? Are you sure? I said, yeah, Aaron. Yeah, Aaron. Yeah, Aaron, you can come. He said, I don't know. I said, what did the thief say? I don't know. I don't know why I'm here. Well, now you know why you're here, because Jesus said so. Now, are we to teach the doctrines of justification? Are we to teach the inerrancy of Scripture? Are we to baptize and are we to be, you know, doing those? Absolutely, that's what the church is for. But that is so that we can come to know Jesus better and worship him more. It is not going to get you to heaven. And just as my message to him was, the man said you could come. And he just absolutely broke down. What Paul teaches here is that they will not know unless they're told. They will not come to understand unless someone shares the message with them. It can be from that pulpit. It can be from that Sunday school room. It can be across the dining room table. It can be in the grocery aisle. It can be wherever you are. But the thing of it is, you have to be ready and prepared and willing. Do you have to know the story of the thief on the cross? I used Alistair Begg's. I loved his story, the way he told it. But go, every person I met in the parking lots, and as I said to the children, they were different. Most of them were Mexican. And they were shocked that I would walk up and start speaking with them. The group that was over there cooking and eating were all Mexican, and I went over and just sat down in the midst of them. Hey, dude. I sat there and talked with them a while. They were shocked. That's our responsibility. That's our role, is to share the gospel and just simply say, let me tell you about Jesus. And don't tell them the way Tim would tell them. Tell them the way you know Jesus. Tell them your story. I relayed some of my story to him when I told him of the passing of Marley. He said, and you still a preacher? You still believe and love him because he took your child? I said, absolutely. Absolutely. I know. So let me encourage you. Be willing. Wherever God puts you. And I might also encourage you, next time you travel, stop at a little motel on the side of the road, pull your chairs out, go out and sit on the edge of the parking lot, and see who Jesus Christ will bring you. And just start the conversation. Let me tell you about Jesus. They'll do one or two things. They'll listen or they'll walk off. I had several walk off. Okay. Let's pray together. Father, I do pray for Aaron. Thank you for saving his soul, as I believe you have. And for David and that group that I had dinner with or sat with. For the painter. For the missionary couple that met out in Colorado. The gentleman who just lost his wife. Others. Lord, continue to build, bring them closer to you. Lord, and I do pray for Aaron that you would put someone in his life that could teach him, draw him even closer. But I thank you that the message simply was the man in the middle cross said I could come. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen and amen.